Yeshua. Please continue speaking. Mahabhaga. O greatly fortunate one. Yata. As much as. Aham. I. Akila Atmane. Unto the Supreme Soul. Krishna. Unto Lord Sri Krishna. Nivesha. Having placed. Nisangham. Being freed from material qualities. Manaha. Mind. Chakshe. May relinquish. Kalevaram. Body. Translation, O greatly fortunate Shukadev Goswami, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind upon the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, and being completely freed from material qualities, thus relinquish this body. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. To be fully engaged in hearing the transcendental narration described in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam means to constantly associate with the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna. And to constantly associate with the Supreme Lord Krishna means to be liberated from the qualities of matter. Lord Krishna is like the sun, and the material contamination is like darkness. As the presence of sun dissipates darkness, constant engagement in the association of Lord Krishna frees one from the contamination of material qualities. Contamination by the material qualities is the cause of repeated birth and death. Okay. And liberation from material qualities is transcendence. Maharaj Parikshit was now a realized soul by the secret of liberation through the grace of Shukadev Goswami, for the latter had informed the king that the highest perfection of life is to be in remembrance of Narayana at the end of life. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to give up his body at the end of 7 days, and thus he decided to continue remembering the Lord by his association with the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus to quit his body in full consciousness of the presence of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Soul. The hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam performed by professional men is different from the transcendental hearing of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was a soul realized in the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The fruit of the materialist is not a realized soul. He wants to derive some material benefit from his so-called hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. Undoubtedly, such an audience hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the professional men can derive some material benefit as they desire. But that does not mean that such a pretense of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for a week is as good as the hearing of Maharaj Parikshit. It is the duty of the saint to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized soul and not be duped, that means cheated, by professional men. One should continue such hearing till the end of one's life so that one can actually have the transcendental association of the Lord and thus be liberated simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit had already given up his connections with his kingdom and family, the most attractive features of materialism. But still he was conscious of his material body. He wanted to be free of such bondage also by the constant association of the Lord. So, Katayaspa Mahabhaga Yataham Makilatmani Krishna Nivesha Nisangam Manas Chakshe Kalevaram. So, Omagana Tumirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Urave Namaha. So, this word in the verse, Nisangam, is actually very important. Nisanga means, of course, being freed from the association with the modes of nature. And Krishna in the Gita, he says that our entanglement is due to, oh, nice to see you, young man. So our entanglement is due to guna sanga. Karnam Guna Sangasha Sarasad Janma Jonishu. Krishna says that Karna, the cause, actually Krishna is the cause of all causes, but everything that happens to us, every thought we have, every action, including the mobile phone going up, it has some cause to it. So the cause of our entanglement is association with the modes. And then that means even the mode of goodness. You know, naturally we think of the mode of ignorance, you know, drinking and getting intoxicated. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Of playing video games. Because I'm sure some of you do that. Watching Bollywood movies. That's the mode of ignorance. And then association with the mode of passion, of course, that generally is things like soccer and things like that. Anyway, what can I say here? And food and the mode of passion. Too hot, too spicy, too salty. Like that, it causes disease. Too sweet, even. Anything. Actually, it's a fact that too much of anything can kill you. Too much water can kill you. You can drown yourself by drinking too much water. Did you know that? You can drown yourself internally and die. Because you'll become, your blood will actually become completely diluted. So, anyway. And then the mode of goodness is the real problem. What is the real problem with the mode of goodness? Because you think you're happy. You know, you're not disturbed by like so much of the upheavals of the material world, everything is good. For example, I just came from a place called Hawaii, just before I came here. And it's basically, of course the people are not in the mode of goodness, I can tell you that.
No.
The people are in ignorance. But not everybody, I mean, there's some devotees. But the atmosphere is just like, wow. It's like 100 times better than Fiji. You've been there?
Yeah.
I mean, you got avocados this big, you know, mangoes all the time. It's always the same temperature. You don't even need a weatherman there to tell you the temperature. It's just like in the summer, winter. And then I was staying with some devotees. Actually, Shrutakirti Prabhu. Some of you may know Shrutakirti. I stayed with him and his wife. And just about two blocks from him is this beautiful beach, number one beach in the United States. It's called Waimanala Beach. It's not, Waikiki Beach is not so nice,
no,
the one with the hotels. But Waimanala, it's just blue. It's like going to heaven. So I was there, and I was thinking, you know, wow, why do I have to go anywhere? I could just stay here with my friends, won't have to pay any money. They'll feed me. So, and I went swimming and the water was nice and it was just like, I was in the water for about an hour with my friend and just thinking, wow, this is, the waves are washing over you. And it's incredible. I thought I had died and gone to Indra's abode, basically. So that's the mode of goodness. You know, naturally, I was thinking of staying there. You know, I was attracted to it. Because it's nice to be attracted to the mode of goodness. But then I realized, hey, you're supposed to be Krishna conscious too. You know, what happened with the Hare Krishna movement and your mission and Srila Prabhupada? And he said, oh no. So I have to do something about that. So I came here, where the weather in the morning is too cold, and in the day it's a little warm, so it's all right right now. And then you have floods here and things like that. So therefore it's very enamoring. In other words, Krishna talks about that in the Gita, that one becomes attached to this sense of happiness. And then one doesn't notice that death is coming, because I tell you, even in Hawaii, people die. People get sick. I mean, there are hospitals there and everything like that. So it's just simply an illusion to associate with that mode. So one has to be very careful. So I'm pointing out that, you know, I was associated with the mode of goodness there, and it's just like, it let my guard down for a few moments, and there was Maya. You know, because Maya is easy to see in the mode of passion and ignorance, at least easier. You know, like in a mode of passion, you know, some young girl or young handsome man comes out. That's easy. It's a Maya Devi, Maya Dave, you know. In the mode of ignorance, you know, it's just like some liquor comes out. You know, Hare Krishna, you know. But mode of goodness is very hard. So how to get rid of that association with the three modes? Because the three modes are everywhere. It's like paint. And the whole material world has wet paint, has a sign of wet paint on it. You ever gone somewhere and, you know, there's a banister or something like that that says wet paint, don't touch. Well, you can't avoid touching just by being there, just by having a body, just by sleeping at night. You can't avoid touching the modes of nature. So the only way to give up that association, of course, Krishna also in the 15th chapter of the Gita talks about that. Nirmana Moha Jitta Sangha Dosha is that same expression. Jitta means to conquer. But Krishna is known as Ajitta, which means he was unconquerable. So Ajitta, so you should conquer. Jitta Sangha Dosha. Sangha means the association with the modes of nature. Dosha means bad. Doesn't mean something you eat, you know, dosha. It means in Sanskrit, it doesn't mean something you take for dinner. It means bad. Dosha, you know, so give up bad association. So this is mentioned several times in the Gita, the Vedic literatures, and of course, also in the Nectar of Instruction, Sangos Chagat Sato Vrite. You know this? The different methods. Actually, it's mentioned twice in the Nectar of Instruction. One as far as things to avoid, and one as far as things to do. It's interesting. Things to avoid, of course, Ajahara Payasa Chap, which Alpanimagrat Janasangas. That means association with ordinary people or association with the modes of nature. And then, of course, in the positive injunction, Utsahan Nistyed Darya Tatat Karma Pavartanat, Sangos Chagat, the same thing is there. It's interesting, isn't it? So many places you have Sangos Chagat, or in the Gita, give up bad association. So it's actually impossible to give up bad association, so we're all hopeless. Anyway, so now the whole point is, as Pariksit Maharaj states here, if we can place our mind on Krishna, then automatically that association is given up. In other words, we have to associate with something. You can't give up all association. You can't be like, there was a picture I saw on the internet yesterday. There was some devotee chanting japa in a closet. He was sitting, not on the floor, he was sitting on a shelf in the closet. And he thought, this way I'll give up bad association. I wish it would work like that. You just shut the door of the closet, but then you have your mind. I mean, I deal with this all the time in Fiji, that devotees say, you know, I'm so miserable here, you know, I got to migrate. I said, but the problem is, you're not going to leave your mind behind you. Mm. You know, you can't leave your mind in Fiji and come to Australia. The mind goes with you. The subtle body goes with you. So the whole point is, if I am not Krishna, Padaravindaya, you know, somehow or other, fix the mind on Krishna. And so here Pariksit Maharaj is doing the obvious. He's fixing the mind on Krishna by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam 24 hours a day. That's pretty good. I don't think any of us could do that, or it's practical for us at this particular point. I mean, of course, obviously, when you're getting ready to leave your body, hopefully you won't be talking about investments in the stock market or anything like that. You know, like it. Radha Shalini, I'm not going to come to her, ask her advice on investments. You know, she's getting ready to leave this world. So, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Obviously, at that point, you could really hear and chant 24 hours a day. I mean, you couldn't stay awake. None of us has the determination or the good fortune of the Maharaj Pariksit, Shukadeva Goswami had, to stay awake 24 hours a day for 7 days. I mean, it's impossible for us with these grosser material bodies. I was just talking to Amritasha yesterday. He did a program one night, and you said at work you were falling asleep. So that's impossible. But we can engage in Krishna's service and meditate on how to serve Krishna, whatever our occupation is, even if it's working. Prabhupada said even if you're working in a factory, a man's working in a factory, he's as good as a sannyasi or as a brahmachari, because they're meditating on their service to Krishna. And of course, that's another famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmano Hutam Brahmatena Gontavya Brahma Karma Samadhinam. That if one is absorbed in his work for Krishna, that is actually Krishna. It's called samadhi. It's interesting. That famous verse is generally recited by the Brahma Kumaris, which I'm not going to comment on right now. That's their favorite verse. So, in other words, that's how we can be absorbed. Everything we do, you know, Yat Kurosi, Yadashnasi, Yajdosh, Jujoshi, Tadasiyat, that everything you do, everything you offer, just do for Krishna. And that is non-different from Krishna. So we don't have to sit at Bhagavatam class all day long right now. We just have a shorter Bhagavatam class so that we become inspired to engage everything in Krishna throughout the rest of the day. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to mention. Of course, there's many other points here about Maharaj Pariksit and what we talked about yesterday and the day before about professional man not hearing from a professional reciter. The reciter has to be following strictly, even if he's not an absolutely pure devotee, but at least he has to be following strictly and coming in the cyclic succession and doing his recitation, not to make money, but to actually benefit people. It has to be a pure motive. Like in the Jiva Dharma, there's this interesting discussion between Vijay Kumar and the Babaji. And he's explaining that, you know, I'm making my living by reciting Bhagavatam. And people are giving me money or whatever. And the Babaji says to him, can't do that. That's contaminated to do that. You have to make your living some other way. You know, you can make your living by teaching mantras to people because you're a Brahmin. He was a Brahmin. Vijay Kumar. He was a Brahmin. You can do that by, you know, doing some simple like handiwork or something like that. But as far as Bhagavatam class, you cannot be making money from Bhagavatam giving. And that's what we generally see, that people are making money from doing these Bhagavat Saptahas for 7 days. And of course, Prabhupada says generally they just concentrate on Rasa Leela.
Like serving Krishna.
Yes, like serving Krishna. Because the motivation, as soon as you're taking money, even if you're saying I don't have any bad motivation, but as soon as the money's involved, then it enters into the consciousness and you're thinking while you're giving the class, you're thinking, yo, I mean, better approach that person who gives a nice donation. You know, so you even start to address your class towards the rich people after a while. I mean, it's subtle. You may not even be aware of what you're doing, but it happens. It really happens. So you cannot be making a living from reciting Bhagavatam. Okay, and if you are, then not a good idea for people to go there because it's contaminated. So, any other questions or any questions before we end? Because we got a big schedule today. Yes, Jitendra.
Maharaj, I heard somewhere that Hawaii is actually something left over from Gwalpuri. Apparently, Prabhupada said
that. I never heard Prabhupada say that. I heard Prabhupada say if there's any nice place in the material world, it's Hawaii. But I never heard Prabhupada say it's left over. Maybe he did. But I have to read it directly. Dwarpa Yuga. But the problem is that most of the devotees there are not serious. I mean, it's just like, it's like the heavenly planets, you know. You go up to the heavenly planets and Indra's, you know, just so interested in the Apsaras and even, you know, he's so lusty, he comes down to the earth planet sometimes and just, like, goes after some attractive lady here. like Ahalya. You know, so it's a very bewildering type of environment. And dangerous. Prabhupada said an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. You know, if everything happens easily. Krishna is so merciful to the devotees who are actually wanting to make spiritual advancement. When things go well, start to go well, he pulls the rug out from under you. You know that expression, pulling the rug out? You know, everything's going well, you know, just I'm really on top of the world, you know, here, boom, ah! You fall flat on your face. You say, Krishna, come on, give me a break. And then you get back on your feet, and then you start to feel proud again, and then, boom! It's like, that's the progress in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna keeps doing that to you.
Until.
What?
Until.
Until you don't have any more pride or attachment. Yeah, then Krishna doesn't have to do that to you anymore. But that's a special mercy.
You mean material attachment.
Material attachment, not to Krishna. Yashaham anugrinami harishe tandanam shanai. That's Krishna's special mercy. That in the performance of our service, just the very byproducts or the interactions we have in our service cause us to develop anarthas. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because it actually increases our false ego if we're not aware of it. You know, you're doing well, everything's all right, you know. Yeah. Like, go to Fiji, everything's going well. Da, 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 da. And then, you know, Fiji's so kind to me that at least one thing is going bad at any one point. And people are having trouble. You know, I go there thinking, wow, this is great. I'm in charge. Everyone will listen to me, which is actually a big illusion. So, and Krishna just wakes you up. Like that, it's just like, huh? You're not the controller. You don't have a right to the results of the activities, to enjoy the results of the activities. You have a right to your service, you rascal, but you don't have a right to enjoy the results of your activities. That's a tough one, isn't it? Krishna's the enjoyer of the results of our activities, not us. And it's, you know, Maya gets more subtle like that, and Krishna just keeps pulling the rug out. He said, ah, Govinda.
Depends how long the person enjoys that food.
Yeah.
That's the limit, I mean, in this material.
Yeah, if the person catches himself like that, then Krishna may not pull the rug out. But if it goes on for more than a few minutes, then you're in trouble. Krishna's like that. Anyway, that's his kindness. Krishna is so kind that he just wants us back with him. Okay? Do you, Tendra, any questions?
Maharaj, you were talking about the mind before.
Yeah.
The mind is supposed to, it's a material element. It's a psychological element. But it also acts like an enemy in the sense that...
Or a friend.
When you try... Right. When you... Even when you try and progress in spiritual life, it somehow finds ways to puncture your endeavors or to trick you sometimes. If it's a material element, how does it act so much like an enemy? Like it actually pulls you down?
Because the mind is actually associated, when the mind is associated with the modes of nature, which is most of the time, then that's why it pulls you down. And therefore you need the intelligence. I mean, that's the way Maya is arranged anyway. Maya is arranged, she has two potencies, throwing and keeping. She throws you into Maya and he keeps you in Maya. You're thinking, in other words, Prabhupada gives the example, thinking, you know, I want to get out of Maya, and then Maya uses the mind to tell you, this is the keeping potency, that you don't want to do that. I mean, you're not... You got so much time, you know, your whole life is there, you're just a child or you're just a, you know, whatever you are. You have to work out your material desires first. You know, just, it's too much pressure, you know, just too much authoritarianism, pressure, it's just too much, you know, just chill out. And so the mind preaches to you like that. But you have to make your intelligence very strong. You know, that's Maya's keeping potency. You have to make your, or she throws you if you happen to be Krishna conscious into Maya. So you have to make your intelligence strong and think, no, this is what my spiritual master wants. This is what Krishna wants. And like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you beat the mind with shoes or a cane so many times a day. And in other words, that shoes and cane are not to be taken literally, but they represent the intelligence, the form direction of the super soul. We know the right thing. You know, we know what Krishna and Prabhupada would want. Why aren't we doing it? And so the intelligence has to say, you're going to do it, you rascal. And the mind is saying, no, I won't. And the intelligence says, shut up. And you do it. Or you don't do it, depending on how strong your intelligence is. That's why we have to regularly read and hear from pure devotees, because that makes the intelligence strong. Otherwise, we forget. If we don't regularly hear Bhagavatam, we actually forget. And then we think that we're Krishna conscious when we're actually absolutely in Maya. You know, like we're swimming in the ocean in Hawaii, I think that, no, Krishna's so nice. It's a beautiful ocean. You know, it's all right to think Krishna's
so nice. Senses plays part.
Yeah, the senses too. Yeah, the senses. You know, it's just like, it's very sensual to go into the ocean and have the water wash around you and the waves, not even big waves. You know, we didn't go surfing. So, but just like the waves wash over you, it's just like, and you're there with your friend and talking. It's just, of course, we also talk about Prabhupada because he was Prabhupada's servant. So it's not that we were completely.
He's moved to Hawaii too.
Yeah, he's in Hawaii. He's in Hawaii. He wants to go back to India, but he really likes in Hawaii.
Some lady
because
she tricked Prabhupada
it's
mango season there.
Yeah, that was Govinda Dasi. She told Prabhupada it was mango season, but there were rats in the house. Prabhupada said it's not mango season, it's rat season. That's Govinda Dasi. She was assisting Prabhupada when he first went there. It was Govinda Dasi and some other devotees too. Srutta Kirti visited Hawaii with Prabhupada. Srutta Kirti traveled with Prabhupada for many years, so it was nice having this association because he was able to tell me different things that Prabhupada said. And some of the stories are really interesting. Some disciples wouldn't listen to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had argument, you know, yelling back and forth with different disciples. I just think, wow. But Srutta Kirti, Prabhupada never really yelled at. Because he was always just thinking of pleasing Prabhupada. Very first-class servant. Okay, I think we have to end because we got a big schedule. Thank you all online for joining us. Anuradha and Dear Prashanta from Bosnia. Wow. Ashwin, Kishori from the flooded area. You know where that is. It's the farm. Divyanitai Leela. Yeah. Actually, I know the background here. So, Navkishori, Radhika Priya is watching, Uddhava, Angelina, Leela Shakti, Nexus Singh, and Sudharma from the United States. Okay, thank you very much.